You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. Facing cancer is rarely experienced alone. Caregivers play a vital and difficult role in supporting loved ones. A Davis-based multimedia artist has transformed his experience navigating his wife's diagnosis into an exhibit now on display at the Pence Gallery. That artist is Dave Webb, and his wife is Melinda Welsh. You may recognize her name from her decades as a local journalist, as well as from writing openly about her terminal cancer diagnosis for the better part of a decade. Dave's video installation follows her path from terminal diagnosis to remission. As we've shared on CAP Radio, regular Insight host Vicky Gonzalez is also navigating her own breast cancer journey, updating the public along the way. Vicky sat down with Dave Webb and Natalie Nelson, the curator of the Pence Gallery, to discuss the exhibit, The Grateful Chair, a piece described as part love note, part meditation on mortality, and part unsolicited advice. It invites us to reflect on our own connections to love and loss.
Dave and Natalie, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you. It's so good to be here.
I just love the exhibit, Dave, but before we dive into it, I think we need to start from the beginning. Can you please tell us about your wife? She's obviously a big force in Sacramento. She's been a mentor to an entire generation of journalists who have been touched by the Sacramento News and Review. But for those who are unfamiliar, tell us who Melinda Welsh is.
Yeah. Melinda is the founding editor of the Sacramento News and Review, and she was had a career of being an editor and then going back to writing and rejuvenating and coming back into the editorship. And she did that for almost 20 years. But starting in 2014, she was diagnosed with a rare and aggressive cancer of the head and neck of an unknown primary. And thus began our entrance into the cave that cancer can sometimes be. And thanks to UCSF immunotherapy and our good fortune, she's been cancer-free now for 6 years. And I'm a creative person, background in music writing and visual arts with an iPhone as a camera. And this show came to me over the course of about a month in 2021 or 22. Over that period of time. And it's using iPhone images, an original musical score, and a multi-visual arts installation. Mm. And it premiered in Tracy in 2023, went down to the LA area, and now is finally coming home.
That's wonderful. I want to stop on the moment where you said that she's been cancer-free for 6 years, because that ain't nothing, given the diagnosis that she was given. I mean, she was given a terminal diagnosis, and in an op-ed that she wrote for the LA Times, she had said that a physician gave her a year-ish to live.
That's exactly the words. I was in the room when the doctor said that to us, and that's the reality that we lived with for several years. Melinda was a great, strong, brave patient, and thank you for your kind words about her journalism. She was a journalist approaching her own cancer and coming to an understanding of it. She was told early on there was a few things that were available to her. Our doctor was a UC Davis grad and a Davis High School grad, and his father was an emeritus professor at UC Davis. So he's a hometown fellow, Dr. Alan Al-Ghazi, down at UCSF, and he was the one who first used the term a yearish, and it stuck.
I can only imagine. I mean, the exhibit, of course, resonated with me as someone who's navigating cancer right now with breast cancer. But when given a terminal diagnosis that is your partner, that's your loved one, of a yearish to live, obviously defied those odds thanks to advances in immunotherapy and clinical trials. Art, of course, can be a vessel for therapy, for processing, for coping. When did that begin entering your life when going through this journey for someone that you love and you were a caretaker for?
The creative process took place well after cancer had left the building. Of course, when you're stage four, technically cancer never does leave the building, but she is cancer-free now. And she had been cancer-free for a number of years when I first started a narrative, a piece of paper, a sort of somewhat poetic narrative about this concept of the grateful chair. And within two or three days, I grabbed a dining room chair, took it out on the road, started photographing it, and to our great pleasure, that dining room chair was rather luminescent and made for good photographs. And the musical score came a few days later. But it was kind of in the aftermath. It wasn't... you need a little distance to do good work, I think.
Yeah.
And although art therapy is wonderful, it's a wonderful thing in the world. But for this, it was it kind of came more as a creative process. And I had a number of processes that I'd developed over the years that where I was able to pull on.
It's really powerful that your focal point, the focal object, is a chair against a backdrop of many different images. Was that an easy spark of inspiration looking at that chair, or did it take more, I don't know, creative process or thought? Were you kind of meditating or kind of navigating how to express yourself creatively?
Good question. The narrative came first, and it did me the favor of giving me layers of metaphor. Then when the chair showed up, suddenly then it became, I had a bit of a roadmap for where to go. And then I just started taking it out there. I mean, the staff at UC Davis, I mean, they see me walking around with the chair. And they go, there's that guy with the chair again. And he never sits in it. He just walks around with it. I took it everywhere and started photographing it. And then it did develop a life of its own. In some places, I had to go back 3, 4, 5 times to get good work done. The wonderful thing about this, because there's 3 art forms at once, they kind of bounced and reflected off each other. And that was a fun part of the process.
Yeah. You know, both Melinda wrote about her journey extensively. You put together this art installation as well. Oftentimes, and understandably so, when people and loved ones are in the face of something as difficult and trying as cancer, they keep a tight-knit circle and they go through it privately. But both of you chose to not do so in your own ways. Why do you think that is?
For Melinda, and I'm speaking for her, but I think this is accurate, it took her a good long time to decide to write about it. And finally she decided. She had a contact at the Los Angeles Times. She put it down and out it came. And that kind of led the way. I mean, she'd been writing about whatever, varying things going on in her life for a number of years. And for me, it was this work came together, and it was probably a decision to go public with it. And I can't really recall when I decided this is a show, not just a Facebook post. At some point, that bridge was crossed. Natalie and I talked early on, and you were so receptive so early on to the idea of it as an exhibit.
Well, and I really love Dave's original kind of idea, which was images of the chair, but it was images of daily life as well. And living in Davis, you see the rural, you know, outskirts all the time. You see the birds. They're part of your daily life, but they take on special meaning when you think terminal, when you're a caretaker. All of a sudden, those daily events, are you going to share them with someone? So it's not just images of chairs. I feel like it's this photo essay full of hope and full of, like, moments of our life, those small moments that we might just normally not really remember or value. So I love Dave's approach because it was kind of like all these different things at once. So you had an avenue to approach potentially grief, potentially loss in a space that was really rich, full of music, full of beauty, full of images, and of course the narrative that he writes, which is very simple but very concise about what happened to Melinda.
Right. There's a passage that corresponds with the video installation, with the music, and with the images as well. I mean, you are the curator of the Pence Gallery. Your first experience with Dave's exhibit, what was your reaction to it? And also, what made the Pence Gallery just a great place to showcase his work?
You know, I feel like when I tell people about the show, they go, wow, that sounds heavy, because they're not seeing the images. The images actually, I think, are very uplifting and beautiful. There's a lot of poetic license in his photography in terms of color, in terms of the way he captures whether it's Melinda or you know, birds that were so beautiful to look at that it made really my heart so happy and it was singing, you know. At the same time, I'm seeing images of her mask she wore for radiation, the cup of pills she had to take, which was a huge cup, frankly. So it was very bittersweet. And I felt like it was really, it's a love story between two people in some ways of caring and not really being able to walk on this journey with someone who's so in pain. So I had all those mixed emotions when I first saw it. And I just wanted to see more and I wanted to connect with him because I was just sharing that I feel like truly remarkable art comes from honesty and comes from vulnerability. And Dave kind of had those in spades. He was willing to share those with people. And I think that's really what I wanted to see at the Pence was not just, we're a nonprofit art gallery, so we show lots of different kinds of shows of art by local and regional artists. And ultimately, I want to, you know, move people. I want them to have some sort of emotive experience. It might be about color, it might be about shape, or it might be about, you know, potentially losing your spouse. And that was a very new kind of show for me, but I felt like, wow, you know, if we're not here for that, you know, to really show daily life and what happens to us and the power of art to kind of survive, what are we here for? And we had done some other programs with kind of art and loss, so it seemed really apropos kind of what the Pence has been doing in its education programs. So I thought, let's do this. Let's open up this space and we'll see what happens. People might be crying in our gallery. So I've talked to staff about that. You know, we need to have a place for people to sit and reflect. And this is not a typical response to the Pence shows. So it's kind of stretched us, but I think it's in a really good and very positive way. Because we know that the arts are healing. Not every show we do has that element. But I really want people to see the arts as more than just a visual language. Mm.
Yeah. Dave, as an artist, when you were inspired to do this and you were actively putting it together, did you have an idea or an intention of how you wanted people to take in your work?
No. I felt that I wanted to create a space where you could approach it where you wanted to approach it from. I'm very mindful of our Linda's and my tremendous good fortune. And I've been approached in previous exhibits of the Grateful Chair of people, and you just see it in their eyes. They're not as lucky. And this has got to be a space for them, too. And that becomes an issue where if the work is open-ended enough, there's room for everybody. And that's my hope.
When it comes to the method of taking the photos, why an iPhone?
Because that's what I got. Melinda gave me my first iPhone, and I had no background in the visual arts at all. I'd had background in music and background in writing, but no visual arts. And I was just captivated. I was shooting every day, and I, and it sounds old-fashioned now, but at the time, 2010, 11, thereabouts, I was putting a picture up every day on Facebook. And that was, you know, for whatever problems we have with social media, to suddenly have an audience that's there and can easily comment and you can easily post, it's a pretty good place to work. I mean, you're not guessing as much as you're getting input at the time. And then suddenly a gallery person in town said, well, let's do a show of yours. I said, oh, how hard can it be? So off to the races we went, you know.
And as we briefly touched upon, there's text, there's a passage that goes with your video installation. Can you walk us through the thoughtfulness of putting words to your images?
That was, the words came first.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the thing. The words came first. And it was, I have a background in songwriting and all kinds of writing. And sometimes writing comes in bursts. And this was one of those bursts. It just kind of came out. And the neat part about it is that the words were adjusted and messed with, but nothing much was added. Pretty much the flow of that first document was intact. It was tightened considerably. And thank you for calling it succinct, because that was the goal. But that came kind of in a flow. And then the photographs kind of were an independent process. Well, this is good. Oh, this fit. Oh, I think that'll work. What about this? We can throw this one in. Blah, blah, blah.
And what about the music? I guess the score to your video.
The score. It was a chord progression that I'd used in a song many years ago And it's built around basically a chord structure Joni Mitchell turned us all on to back when her early work. And then it ended up being a waltz, which was a huge surprise, but viscerally it worked. I had been consulting with the Stockton Symphony at the time, and there was a guy who would come through town who was sort of the fix-it guy for the Stockton Symphony. I called him up and said, okay, what's about all the simple waltzes, what's the most eloquent? And he sent me three or four names, and I listened to them, and I thought, okay, I've learned some things about structure and repetition. Let's go. And I'm pleased with the results. It was able, that had to be tailored to the pace of the images. First the words, then the images, and then the piano music had to fit in with the flow of the installation.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Dave Webb, a Davis-based multimedia artist, and Natalie Nelson, the curator of the Pence Gallery in Davis, to discuss Dave's exhibit, The Grateful Chair, which is in response to his wife's cancer, and it is on display through November 1st with an opening reception on October 11th at 6 p.m. Dave, of course, you are the loved one and the caregiver in all of this. And caregivers are so crucial when someone is navigating a diagnosis such as your wife's. Given that you're married, and also given I'm going through something similar, I'm married as well. I think in life or in marriage or in any kind of relationship, whether friendship or otherwise, that is as intimate as one of a marriage, you can or you do get the best of someone, and you also get, you know, the rougher parts of someone. And sometimes communication and navigating that isn't always as graceful as we would hope it to be because we're human, right? And we process and grieve differently. There's a passage, or part of the passage in your piece that really struck me and stood out to me. And the piece reads, next time your loved one is in the grateful chair, speaking of important things or maybe the smallest aggravation of the day, should your mind start to wander, just close your eyes for a second and imagine that grateful chair empty. What advice do you have for family members, friends, caregivers? Because it is a difficult role to play. You know, caregivers are crucial, but it's a lot to shoulder. What advice do you have for people who are currently navigating and going through something like this?
There's a lot of listening. And I had a goal for Melinda that was I was going to do what I could to make that day a good day for her. I've come to think that that almost should be part of the marriage vow. We all don't, in the difficulties of children, raising kids, working, everyday life, it's hard to find all that energy, but it seemed like something that I was trying to do for her. Melinda was so strong and so brave and so open to doing what she had to do. There were some times where I think it was helpful to have another person there saying like, no, let's go try this. No, let's go do this. And you have to figure out when people, there's that old saying, you want to be helped, you want to be heard, you want to be hugged, right?
Right.
And navigating those three things come into reserve, and I think everyone's going to deal with the grief differently, I think. So it's a matter of attuning yourself to what particular thing your partner is going through.
How has Melinda responded to your project?
She is so supportive. She's been supportive of my creative work since we married, and in fact, we met playing music together. I think this can be a hard exhibit for her because it takes her back to cancer. And so that's something we're navigating and working through. But overall, I think she's proud of the work and proud of me for doing it.
Did you learn something while putting this together?
Yeah, it did give me a chance to reflect back on it all. And to go back into it and sort through what had happened. You don't want to live in cancer, but you want to learn from it. And I think the process of putting this together gave me some real good chances to contemplate.
I love that. You don't want to live in cancer, but you want to learn from it.
Yep.
That's wonderful. So, Natalie, you're the curator. People are going to be taking this in all month in October.
Right.
How do you want people to interact with this exhibit?
I think, like Dave said, we're not quite sure how people are going to interact with the exhibit. I'm hoping that they will, take some time for themselves and look at it and do so slowly and spend time with the video, which is really, Dave calls it a slide song, which has the music and the beautiful words and then all the images. So, and then I hope they take time to reflect on how cancer has affected their life, or it could be, does it remind them of something else? I think especially post-COVID, we realize we need spaces to reflect and to honor grief. And not all of us are religious. So sometimes an art gallery can help us in some ways, just having some personal kind of space to ourselves to really take a moment and reflect, like what Dave was saying. It's so important, and art can be part of that process.
Mm. Well, as someone who is going through cancer, I appreciate and am so grateful for you and Melinda's desire to be open and to share your journey, because it is cathartic and it is therapeutic. And it reminds me that we all are a community, especially when you're going through hardship. You can feel like you're alone and you're in a bubble. But by being open and being vulnerable in a creative way, especially, it's really profound, I think, what you're doing for people when they take in your exhibit this month.
Thank you so much. And I would mention, too, Melinda's piece called The Big Sick in Sacktown. I recommend it to anyone who's in the cancer fight. Again, we had a marvelous story with a happy ending so far. And I think that people can draw from that as well. And that's available online.
We'll have a link to it on our Insight page.
Wonderful.
Well, Dave and Natalie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been
really
fun.
Really special.
Yeah.
That was Insight host Vicky Gonzalez talking with Dave Webb, a multimedia artist, and Natalie Nelson, the curator of the Pence Gallery in Davis, to discuss their exhibit, The Grateful Chair, which documents his wife's cancer. It's on display through November 1st, with an opening reception on October 11th at 6 p.m. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. We're back in just a moment.